Welcome to Explore the Space. We're digging into healthcare issues that matter most. Our guests and conversations mine these issues for perspective and answers. There is a gulf between healthcare and our communities. This is the place to talk about it. Now here's your host, Dr. Mark Shapiro.
Welcome back to Explore the Space podcast. I'm your host, Mark Shapiro. Delighted to have you back. We were dark in the month of March. I think it's actually the first time Explore the Space podcast has been dark since its inception, but delighted to be back with you. Before we get to today's episode, a thank you first to Practicing Excellence for sponsoring this episode. Healthcare leaders and teams have a lot on their plates and often lack the time and resources they need. Enter Practicing Excellence, a skill-building platform designed to bring value to every team member. It empowers healthcare leaders to transform the patient and care team experience, scale leadership development, and profoundly change organizational culture. Practicing Excellence equips you with the tools to build human connection skills across your teams, ultimately improving clinician well-being and patient outcomes. For more, visit www.practicingexcellence.com. Thank you also to the Women in Medicine Summit for sponsoring this episode. Delighted to share that Explore the Space podcast will be supporting the Women in Medicine Summit once again in 2024, and you can go there to elevate your journey in healthcare. Join us September 13th and 14th at the Drake Hotel in Chicago for a transformative CME conference. Meet influential leaders, tackle healthcare inequities, and engage in exclusive networking and leadership sessions. Plus, don't miss the Friday evening gala, an exquisite add-on event that will sell out fast. Whether you join in person or online, this summit offers unparalleled opportunities for both personal and professional growth. Don't miss out. Secure your spot now at womeninmedicinesummit.org. I am delighted to have back on Explore the Space podcast Dr. Adara Landry and Dr. Risa Lewis. They are both wonderful ER physicians, and they are back. They were on the show several years ago, actually, turns out, together. And they're back on together again. They have a new book out called Micro Skills. Simply put, it's awesome. I'm pretty picky with the sort of leadership, personal improvement, and organizational improvement books that I read. And this one was really wonderful. And it's really captured, I think, by their sort of central dogma. These are things that they would like to have learned earlier in their career. And I think from that springboard, we are able to go in some wonderful places with this discussion. And there's obviously a link to the book in the show notes. They are fabulous coaches. They are wonderful educators. They're good friends of the show. And it's an absolute treat to have them back on. Please do check out the entire archive of Explore the Space podcast. There's a link in the show notes to Risa and Adara's previous appearance, www.explorethespaceshow.com. You can find me on social media, Twitter at ETS Show, Instagram at Explore the Space Show. You can find the merchandise store for Explore the Space as well at www.explorethespaceshow.com/merch. And wherever you like to download and listen to your podcast, please do leave us that 5-star rating and review. That really does help us out. Having said all of that, delighted to have Risa and Adara back on the show. So let's get right to it. Risa and Adara, welcome back to Explore the Space. It's been a long time coming for both of you. Risa, you were on, pre-pandemic years ago. I came on your show. We talked coffee. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Adara, same. I think pre-pandemic you came on, but we met in person in September in Chicago. So Risa, we got to catch up. We haven't met in person yet. Meeting Adara in person was rad. Adara, welcome back.
That was so much fun. Nice to be here.
Yeah. I don't normally do this, but we're going to talk about the book Micro Skills. We're going to jump right in. I normally like to start off as supportive podcast host, no gotcha questions, but I actually want to pick a fight. I'm not kidding. There is something in the intro that I will dispute this is an impassioned dispute. In the introduction, Adara, you both wrote, "We believe early career professionals will benefit the most." No, ma'am. All. I am a mid-career professional, and this book is rad. So I am disputing that line with my whole chest. Adara, how does that land for you?
I'm happy to hear that. And we are, we welcome all readers. The entire audience of people who want to learn about the workplace are welcome to read the book. And it was funny because when we first started, we thought
it was going to land most with early career professionals, which is why we include that part. But we have heard from all sorts of people that this book is full of gems.
100%. Good. Risa, how about for you? Also, you both are like early mid-career professionals. When you put this together, did you write that like, haha, Shapiro's going to read this and he's going to be like, he's going to giggle and pick a fight with us? Or like, what was sort of the thought process framing it that way? Because I could see how in like two generations from now, when hopefully there's a lot more sophistication, that yes, this is something that faculty who are really steeped in the skills that you present here, all right, cool, this is how I built my career, now you read it. But are we there yet?
Okay, first, Mark, I'd like to start by saying thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the kind words. We love it. We love it. And, you know, I have no problem saying that I'm 53 years old. So I think I'm the oldest on this podcast. So I'm mid-career, heading towards late career. And Adair and I spoke a lot about this. You know, who's this for? Because people are like, you need to identify your audience, you need to hone your audience. And we're like, we want to write a book for everybody. And you point out the intro. In the intro, readers will see we're like, nope, not just for women. Nope, not just for doctors. Because people looked at us and just immediately assumed. And we're like, nope, 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 nope. So similarly, we really thought that this could be for anybody. We did a lot of beta reading with people that were generous with giving their time and their thoughts. And there were some consistent themes. And the themes was definitely younger than we even maybe appreciated, but like high school all the way through. But generally, once people were a bit older, they'd say, you know, it was a review. I'm not sure that I learned something. It reminded me of some things. And we've had a few people say exactly what you just shared. Man, I wish I had this sooner. Or, whoa, I learned a lot. I famously quote one of my besties from college who, because we have a table of contents that allows people to go specifically to a certain page, certain section, if she has something that she thinks we covered, she goes right to it. And it's the biggest compliment ever.
So it's so good to hear the component of you were asked to hone your audience and things like that, because that's the feedback I got when I started Explore the Space podcast. I was like, I don't want to do that because I don't know how to, first of all, and I want this to just be a real playground that allows us to go in whichever direction we want. And I think that you both have done that with exponential growth, because the small pieces, any one of those can be pulled out by anybody and taken in whatever direction that they want it to, with a great amount of creativity and specificity. Adara, do you have a sense of 10 years from now, like thinking about, like, you know, sports teams, coaching trees, there's the famous coach up here and then the ripple effect of how it all goes down. Like, each one of these is going to have that ripple effect, or do you think that they're going to be kind of static in the way people take them, interpret them, and use them?
I mean, we hope that people feel like as they're moving through the book, they're gaining skills that can be applied to other goals that they have. And so I do hope that there is a structure or a scaffolding that's occurring as one is reading through the book. And, you know, that was always the intention. I mean, we have in the book over 100 or so micro skills, but you can see throughout, you know, many of the chapters that we do repeat some of the strategies, because we feel like, yes, you know, getting to know your team and being nice to people, like, that is so important that it should be mentioned multiple times. It's worth repeating. Exactly. Right. And so, you know, there is some overlap, and then there's also some clear separation between all of the skills. But we do think that as you read through it, you're going to learn so much that, you know, 10 years from now, when you face something that we didn't even cover in the book, you'll have this collection of, you know, skills and actions that you can call upon.
The piece of the book that I think really stuck out the most for me, Risa, is there's an intentionality behind it, and there's a transparency both from the two of you in the sort of stories and vignettes that you share from your professional careers and your personal careers, but it's also a call to action with respect to saying, like, this is the way to do it, with a tremendous amount of specificity and transparency. And the flip side of this that I think makes, for me at least, a lot of whatever term you want to use, right? Coaching books, leadership books, improvement books, annoying and not useful is they're just full of platitudes. And I feel like you both went entirely the other direction. And I love pulling out pages of books, right? Page 79, there's the example of how we create task lists. And you say, the less granular timeline, email the project budget by the end of the week. Well, great. All right. More granular timeline is next to it. And there's like five very specific beats to it. More granular timeline, more granular execution, for me at least, as a mid-career professional and someone who is still working and developing in kind of all facets of life, more granular, more transparency. That's a home run, Risa.
You know, we recognize that everybody learns a bit differently. Everybody works a bit differently and people have preferences. That being said, Adair and I each have our experience, our lived experience in the workplace, in our professional lives. And we have seen certain things work, certain things not work. And we did seek to write something very comprehensive that would be relatable to many, many people. And what we found, you know, in preparing this book, you write a proposal and you have to supply something called comp titles, comparative titles. And we went through the business self-help literature. And I wanted to say it like that, literature. And the theme and what we even say is how we think our book is different, why we think our book is different, is we want to share with people how. We want to give them the playbook, Sports Reference, the playbook that we did not get. And we want to share it. We want to give it. We want to have people start at the same place in the starting line.
In that same vein, then, of the what sets it apart and makes it different, the other thing that I really liked and appreciated about it, and going back to early career me, this is something that I would have really appreciated. I feel like my parents tried to instill this in me early on, as kind of at times where I was worried about, you know, where I was going to go to medical school and things of that nature, the where and the how. I took from this book the sense of, you have to take ownership of these things because no one else is going to. And more than that, no one else cares. Not in a negative way, not because they don't care about you, because they do. But Adara, I really took away from this that sense of, like, in a lot of these things, you're on your own with respect to how much you're going to put into it, how much you are going to seek these things out. No one else cares. They've got their own journeys. There are people who will support you along the way, but at the end of the day, no one cares. The institution certainly doesn't care. They've got 10 candidates for your slot if you don't want your slot. Your best friends and your mentors, they've got their journeys too. No one else cares as much as you will care. How did you have to rein yourselves in a bit about how much you sort of emphasize that, like, you're on your own, go get it, chase it hard, but you're doing this on your own. No one else is going to care as much as you do.
We wanted to make it as harsh and realistic as possible, right? Because it is a reality that I think we will all ultimately realize. And boy, it's better to realize it as early as you can.
100%.
And so, you know, why sugarcoat it?
Yeah.
And I think it was important for us to be very direct. And so I think we always, you know, that part of the introduction where we talk about the harsh reality of you driving your own success, like, I don't remember us ever having a version of that that was really softened and watered down, because both Risa and I have realized the truth. For me, it was, you know, yes, I'm still early career slash just entering my mid career. I'm 38. And I felt like the first few years of my early career, I was waiting for someone to just come up to me and say, hey, you should do this really wonderful opportunity. And I acknowledge that there are some people who have that handed to them. But for the vast majority of us, we have to, you know, climb the ladder ourselves. And it's a really arduous, time-consuming, confusing process. And so having the realization of, like, Adair, if you want to network, you have to go out and actually meet people. And if you want to publish, like, you have to say, I want to be first author on this paper and do the work to get there, right? Like, you are the one in charge, and stop waiting for other people to save you.
Risa, for you, what would have been different had you sat down, you as a resident sits down with Adara now, and Adara says, Risa, no one cares. Like, go get it. Go become a world-renowned point-of-care ultrasound expert. Go become a professor of emergency medicine. Go become a podcaster. But you're going to do that on your own hook and on your own passion and effort. What would have been different?
So first of all, dovetailing off what Adara just shared and what you highlighted is this concept of the self. And we actually walk the reader through the self, the team, the work. I've always been a huge believer, maybe this is from reading Ralph Waldo Emerson, but everything starts with the self. Everything starts with the self. Taking care of yourself, looking out for yourself. You know, chapter one is about self-care, you know, taking care of yourself financially, taking care of your sleep, taking care of your friends and support group. It all starts with a self. And once you're in a really, really good place with yourself, then you extend out to others. Then you extend out and be like, this is all about the work. And that's just it. To your question about if I were a resident, you know, I was aware that there were tricks of the trade, rules of the road, the playbook that I didn't have privy to because I saw everybody around me navigating seemingly more easily. They knew where to show up. They knew they already had projects, all the things. And I also had that waiting to be asked, that waiting for things to come. And then I started having mentors, role models who I saw how they did it, how they took charge of themselves professionally, et cetera. And I think, you know, medicine is so structured. You know, we go to high school, we go to college, we go to med school, we go to residency, sometimes fellowship. It's not always linear, but it's pretty linear for many of us. And right. You have
this
sense
of syncopated rhythm to it. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You have a sense that the system's taking care of you. And
totally. Yes. It's this illusion that somehow you are being cared for. And oh, no, no, no.
Yeah. And we are both motivated to have people have it easier, to have their eyes, ears, nose, throat, every sense opened, aware sooner so they can be healthier, so they can be better, and they can have an easier time of it.
It's interesting that you mentioned the H-E-E-N-T component of this, because one of the vignettes that you gave was around, you know, the self-care, the granularity, right? Oral care. And you are very specific. Make sure you are able to find time to brush teeth and floss and see the dentist. And a vignette that I'll share, when I was finishing residency, I was asked to speak to the incoming class of residents. I wasn't going to be a chief resident. I was moving on, but they're like, hey, you're not going to be a chief. They're never going to know you. But maybe talk to them for an hour. And so we riffed on a whole bunch of stuff and it was awesome. One of the things that I did in that talk was I opened up my handheld device. It was a Sony Clie. I'm going to date myself a little bit with that one. And I said, here's your dentist. And the room went totally quiet. Everybody got out pen and paper. And I gave them the name of the dentist that was like a hand-me-down. All of the residents would be like, this is the dentist that we all go to. Everybody wrote that name and phone number down. People in our profession are so attuned to that need and the desire like to make the most of it. And it always stuck with me that these small pieces of personal self-care, first of all, it's not that they're not being done because people don't feel like they're important. They're not being done because that sense, that veneer of being taken care of is not being executed on. Adara, how much uptake is there of those very specific things? It's easy to say, take care of yourself. Well, F off. Like, I'm trying. How much when you're talking with people and you say, here's the dentist to go to, this grocery store is not expensive on Wednesdays, this is the place that I can get food when I'm on my way home, this is when I use Uber because I'm tired. How much uptake do you get when you hand out those nuggets?
I think people really love specificity.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was our goal, was to try to be as specific as we could when we're writing. And I would say, yes, in general conversation, when you're helping people, being very specific is, first, it feels like I can trust you because you're willing to go into the details. You're not giving me this like sweeping generality. And I can really understand like the nuance of how you have experienced something similar. So yes, when it comes to recommendations, actually getting names and giving people emails is helpful. I think one thing that we really wanted to do that was very specific were actually the vignettes. And that was really born out of both Risa and I experiencing going going to someone and asking, like, have you ever been in this situation before? And you might have, let's say you had a bad patient case. I can speak to myself. I remember my first bad patient outcome, and I went to someone, I told them this like very high level nuanced story, and I was incredibly vulnerable doing that. And they sort of said, yeah, I've been in a similar situation, but didn't really reciprocate that vulnerability. So I didn't feel like they actually had experienced the depth and the gravity of what I was going through. And so in the book, we give a lot of specifics because we really feel like it's important to share that, like, Risa and I aren't speaking from a place of perfection. Like, these are the specific strategies that have helped us, and we want to give you those specifics as well.
So speaking of specifics with those vignettes, Risa, you shared one and my jaw dropped. You shared a vignette about being approached when you were in a leadership role by a colleague about another colleague who had what was felt by others to be an offensive body odor. And when I read that and I read your response, I needed a second, because I had a leadership position years ago and I had the exact same thing happen. A colleague came up to me and shared with me that they found the body odor of another colleague offensive and unpleasant. And they presented it from the right place. It might be difficult for patients. Are they okay? But you got to talk to them about this. And I wish that I had had the resource and the algorithm and the specificity of how you actually addressed it, because I didn't know who to talk to about it. I felt like I could get in a lot of trouble if I brought this up. And I had never noticed the issue, and I knew this person well and was around them all of the time. And I was like, I'm on fragile ground as a brand new leader trying to build trust with my team. This is one, and there's just, it's too fraught, and I don't have anyone to go to. Like, I would have emailed you and said, hi, Dr. Lewis, my name is Mark Shapiro. I have a question about something you put in your book. I think that you're going to find receptivity and interest in the very specific vignettes that you give for a long, long time. That's not really a question, but I had that. I really wanted to mention that to you, that was profound.
Thanks for that reflection. And Adair and I have actually had that specific one come up a lot. And even when we were writing about it, for listeners, viewers that aren't familiar with the book yet, basically it's chapter one, self-care. And we talk about personal hygiene. We're not talking about appearance. We're not talking about dress code. We're really talking about taking care of yourself. And it's not just our opinion. There's actually science to support, evidence to support that if you take care of your appearance and your hygiene, you're more likely to get promotions. And on the flip side, if, for example, you have strong odor, and not good hygiene, that can work against you in terms of job promotions, people wanting you on their team, et cetera. The specific vignette, I was working and it was a medical student, and the clothes and the outfit was actually quite put together. However, the body odor was very, very, very strong. And it was noticed by everybody in the emergency department. Patients would actually make comments or sort of scrunch up their nose when the medical student left the room. Nurses would comment. And finally, the nurses pulled me aside and said, Risa, you need to speak to her. And to your point, Mark, I thought as you were sharing this, we are all works in progress, right? We're all works in progress as people, as physicians, and as leaders. And they were coming to me and saying, you need to do something. So this actually builds upon a few of the micro skills, the critical actions we talk about. One is your board of directors. And I have someone in my life who just is fantastic with difficult conversations. And he was in a leadership role and he had worked with a lot of doctors in training. So he provided a lot of guidance and structure about how to have this, quote, difficult conversation. Again, not coming from a place of perfection or superiority or know-it-all. You know, you think, what could be going on with this person? Let's approach with kindness, approach with permission, and approach with openness. And I basically spoke to her and checked on her. There wasn't a sense that this was depression. There was a sense more that there was some structural stuff. And so I asked about resources at home, hot water, access to laundry powder, stuff like this. And I basically expressed the feedback. And, we had worked together, which is another reason why I think I was tasked with this duty. And also, I think spoke to why the med student was open to this conversation with me. And I was able to have it. And she said, I know exactly what I need to do. And it never was an issue again.
You know, there's two compliments that I think are born of this. Number one, the self-care portion of this, as you said, right, it's at the front of the book. There's a thing that comes up, and actually you guys mentioned it in the book too, but I was a sports writer back in the day, and there's a journalistic thing that you try to avoid, or sometimes you do it intentionally, called burying the lead, where your most important thing gets buried. In this case, this is the nexus of the book. Nothing else comes forward unless you're able to manifest tangible, sustainable self-personal care. And you both putting that at the forefront, acknowledging that it's really difficult, like stepping into that tension, I think really needs to be applauded. Second of all, the skill that I at the time didn't recognize that you helped me to crystallize is that this was an opportunity to check on this person's well-being. And if I have that opportunity again, this person is fine and they've moved on and they're doing great. But I won't miss that opportunity again to take it from a place of like, is this person okay? Do they have access to, has something happened, right? In an area where we have, you know, power outages and things of that nature. Are they okay? Do they have everything that they need to care for themselves? Do they have those skills? Did they learn them? Do they know how to do these? That part of it, I think the way you both frame that again for the reader too, to re-experience these things and have it come on board, not in a judgmental way. I think that that's really powerful and really fantastic. Strategically though, Adara, as you're putting this book together, you could have put any chapter at the front, right? You could have put anything at the front, at the middle, at the end, the conclusion, the denouement, like whatever. The philosophy, though, behind construction, I think, is really important. So when you both sat down and said, all right, the micro skills are done, that's all wireframed, how do we prioritize, acknowledging every book has attrition, right? The people are going to open it, they're going to read the table of contents, they might read a little bit, then they're going to kind of taper off. How do we keep them? How do we prioritize this so that the big swings are at the beginning, but still in the middle and at the end?
Well, I think we spent a lot of time figuring out the layout of not just the individual chapters, but the order of the micro skills too, because we wanted them to feel welcoming and have a natural transition. You know, even just looking at the chapter micro skills for self-care, we actually initially had the micro skill about your appearance first. And it was actually Risa's great point, which is like, this feels harsh and like too strong of an opening. And so we sort of moved that down and started with just nourishing relationships with people. You know, I think the table of contents helps a lot with keeping people interested in the book because they know what's coming next. I think with a lot of business self-help books, you might have just a chapter without as much nuance underneath it in your table of contents. So you actually don't know the specifics. We have heard from folks that they really like having this, you know, wider landscape and much more detailed landscape in the table of contents so that if there's a particular issue that they want to address or tackle, they could just turn to that exact page. And that was actually Risa's idea to have it super, super detailed in the table of contents. And, you know, our book doesn't have to be read cover to cover. I think that's actually one of the great ways we sculpted it, which is that if you wanted to just read about communication because someone told you that you need to work on your communication skills, like they could just turn to chapter 3 and focus on that for the time being. I think we ended the book in a way that I felt, you know, we felt very strong in that we're talking about now the team and growing your career. And so we end chapter 7 with becoming a team player, because at that point you have, you know, developed a lot of skills for yourself and navigating the workplace as an individual. And then we go into building your network in chapter 8 and then navigating conflict, right? Those are really challenging things. And then lastly, actively finding those new opportunities is a great way to end the book.
I love hearing about the construction. The thing that I also enjoyed the most were what I found to be sort of the bookends of the content in the middle. And it was your truths. There are three truths that you both lay out. And I love the way you wrote this. And I'm reading this right from when we were brainstorming and writing the framework for micro skills, we kept returning to these three truths. And that gave me big Declaration of Independence vibes. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Time can only be spent was truth number one. The World Is Not Equal is truth number two. And then Learning Is Limitless If It Is Accessible was truth number three. Risa, truth. I loved it, right? The energy behind it and the clarity behind it. Again, I think it's what helps this book sort of stand a little bit different in its clarity, and also like putting your flag in. There's no sort of negotiation. These are the truths. Here is the narrative underneath them. But there's a sense of like, this is self-evident and this is the case behind it.
Speak, Mark, speak. So look, we have no delusions of grandeur. Adair and I are not the typical author that you see at the airport on the business health shelf authors. Our experience, for different reasons, different identities, some of the same reasons, we haven't had the exact majority experience navigating our professional lives in healthcare. And we wanted to write something that spoke to as many people as possible and be as inclusive as possible. And we really think that these three truths, you know, speak to everyone and are everybody's experience, especially if you have not had that experience of majority. Of those three truths, and I deeply love them all, the time part is the one that's, I remember having the aha moment in residency regarding time, because that was one of the periods where I really felt like I have no control over my time. It is scheduled for 6 months. And I felt like I was on the wheel in the rodent cage. And, you know, you start realizing, you know, thinking of time as currency. It can only be spent. You can't put it in a savings account. You can't save it for later. So you have to be thoughtful and intentional about how you spend your time, where you spend your time, on what you spend your time, with whom you spend your time, and also make sure you reserve time for yourself.
I would add, others will gladly take your time.
Oh, man. Yes.
I learned that one the hard way. The rueful nodding of the head, I think, from all of our listeners, too. And again, right, but being transparent about that and calling that out right at the beginning, I think it's critically important, and it speaks to sort of the last quote, the last kind of pull quote that really stuck with me, Adara. At the end of the book, we wrote the book we wish we had available to us. Yes, like that. To have understood that truth about time when I was an early career attending, and as a resident, when my schedule not only was made for me for 6 months at a time, but could get changed on like a day's notice, why it made me feel so profoundly unsettled that literally from like, cool, I've got a reasonable 2 weeks to actually you're going to be Q3 in the ICU starting tomorrow. And that happened to me, right? And I'm not complaining, but man, that takes a toll on you. To give people that understanding, right, that high level strategic picture at the granular level, like congratulations to you both. That's hard to do, and I feel like you've done what you set out to do. You have written the book that's available now to all of us. So Adara, where do we find it? How do we get it? How do we actualize these truths?
Yeah, we're really excited to have the representation and the endorsement of HarperCollins behind us. They are our publisher, and our imprint is Hanover Square Press. So to be able to be published in the traditional fashion is like a huge honor. The book is available wherever you purchase books. So you can get it at Barnes & Noble's, Target, Bookshop, Amazon, of course. And it's going to be available April 16th, 2024. It will also actually have it'll be on Audible too. We're going to be recording the book this month. Well, for me this month, I think Risa is next month. So it'll be out and available for those who like to listen to books.
I want the audiobook version for sure. I want to hear
both. I don't know if we can autograph that.
We can't sign that one.
I want both then, because I still get my autographed copy of the book for sure. Risa, how do we find you both social media-wise? How do we kind of follow the journey? Where do we pick up on all this stuff?
We are out and about, as I think is how you say it. Adara has her personal website. I have my personal website. We are on LinkedIn. We are on Instagram. We are on X Twitter, although that is going a bit dormant. We're also on Goodreads and We welcome people to follow us, you know, give us feedback. We're so super excited about this work. And it's been so enjoyable to hear how much you've enjoyed the book. It really means the world to us.
Absolutely. And we'll have links in the show notes to all of your websites and social media handles and all of that as well, so that people can follow along. This is awesome. I mean, I remember when the two of you said you were doing this several years ago, and now it's here. Congratulations to you both. I'm so happy we got to talk about it on Explore the Space. Adara, thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Risa, thanks. This was a blast.
Yeah, back at you. Thank you.
My thanks once again to Adara and Risa for joining us on this episode of Explore the Space podcast. Great to have them back. Please do check out their new book, Micro Skills. There is a link in the show notes, and it's available wherever books are sold. They've created something really great here, and I think all of us can benefit from it. Please do get yourself a copy. Have some fun with it. Find them on social media as well. Let them know what you think. Speaking of letting us know what you think, please do leave us that 5-star rating and review wherever you're downloading the show. And you can email me anytime, mark@explorethespaceshow.com. You can hit me up on social media, Twitter @ETS Show, Instagram @ExploreTheSpaceShow. And a thank you to our sponsors for this episode, Practicing Excellence and the Women in Medicine Summit. Practicing Excellence is a skill-building platform designed to deliver value to every team member. Through Practicing Excellence, leaders become more purposeful, teams more capable, care providers lean in, and patients are more engaged and confident in their care. To learn more, visit www.practicingexcellence.com. You can also elevate your journey in healthcare at the Women in Medicine Summit. Join us September 13th and 14th at the iconic Drake Hotel in Chicago for a transformative CME conference. I will be there. Explore the Space podcast will be supporting the Women in Medicine Summit once again, and I'm absolutely delighted about that. You can come and meet influential leaders, tackle healthcare inequities, and engage in amazing networking and leadership sessions. Get your spot secured now, www.womeninmedicinesummit.org. It is an absolute treat to be back creating podcast content again. We will have more great episodes coming up soon. Until then, take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Explore the Space. Visit us on our website, explorethespaceshow.com. And please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter @ETSShow. And you can email Dr. Shapiro by writing to mark@explorethespaceshow.com.